is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Dateline, Russia. Russia conducted nuclear strike drills overseen by President Vladimir Putin in these last hours. They involved the test launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile from the Kura test site in Russia's Far East and a ballistic missile from a nuclear-powered submarine in the Barents Sea, and cruise missiles were also launched from Tu-95 MS long-range aircraft. The exercise came after Russia's upper house of parliament voted also to revoke the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. I welcome John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations, former national security advisor, writing most recently at the Wall Street Journal about what needs to be done following a report from a bipartisan, completely senior committee, America's Strategic Posture. John, this is about nukes, and this is not the 20th century anymore. We face two nuclear powers, both of whom you could say evidence willingness to use nukes at some point. Are we ready, John? Does the committee believe we can get ready? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think Putin's rattling the nuclear saber again shows that he feels somewhat liberated by the Hamas attack against Israel. I mean, I think it's taken Ukraine off the front pages, which is good for Russia. And I think he's trying to intimidate the Europeans, who are also very worried about a wider war in the Middle East and the spread of terrorism. But it also highlights, I think, that he's trying to show that he's still a peer with China, and that indeed it is Russia at this moment that has substantially more nuclear weapons and delivery systems than China. But this congressional commission that just issued its report a couple of weeks ago really was looking not at today's crises, as grave as they are, but looking ahead and making recommendations for how the United States needs to defend itself in a world we have never experienced before. And that is a world with two peer nuclear competitors. All during the Cold War, all of our strategy, all of our weapons decisions were based on basically a bipolar standoff with the Soviet Union. If you have another adversary out there, quite likely very soon with comparable number of nuclear weapons, how do you play in a tripolar nuclear world? It's everything we learned in the Cold War, we now need to revise. And what's significant about this commission, bipartisan, equally divided, came back with a unanimous report recommending substantial improvement and expansion of our nuclear capabilities, really from top to bottom.
This is new thinking, John, if I read correctly. The commission in its preface writes, the vision of a world without nuclear weapons, aspirational even in 2009, is more improbable now than ever. Is that position new to Washington? Are we still standing around holding hands with the Russians in Washington?
Well, certainly a lot of people are. The date 2009 is significant. That was the date of the report of the last congressional commission, the last group of not members of Congress, but for example, former Senator John Kyle, from officials from both Trump and Biden and Obama and other administrations that gave voluntarily of their time. And what that quote you just read is saying is, if you thought we were making progress on nuclear weapons, think again. We've been going backwards. And if the United States doesn't take the necessary action, and we're talking potentially significant expenditures of money, to get a nuclear capability to deal in a tripolar world against two potential adversaries, and delivery systems and all of the upgrading of the nuclear infrastructure, if we don't get started on it now, in 10 years, we're going to be in real trouble.
My memory, John, and you've written on this subject over the years, is it's critical to emphasize what it is that the U.S. must achieve with its nuclear umbrella. Not only the territory and sovereignty of the United States, but of our allies. Isn't that part of the bargain we've made, say, with the NATO states?
Absolutely. It's called the extended deterrence. And by extending our deterrence, not just over our own territory, but that of our allies, NATO, you mentioned Japan, South Korea, we help ensure our own defense. We ensure stability. We can say to all the allies, you don't need nuclear weapons. So we are a very powerful force against proliferation. Unfortunately, the Russians and the Chinese have been the ones proliferating to the likes of Iran and North Korea over the years. But that deterrence capability was always based on the premise that our adversary was the Soviet Union. And so that requires a certain number of missiles to affect the deterrent. If you have to contemplate two nuclear scenarios simultaneously, or one after the other, first against Russia, then against China, you're in a very different ball game. And that all of the thinking of some of the great geniuses during the Cold War that ultimately kept us out of nuclear war, we really need to think again, because it's gone from a two-sided chess game to a three-sided chess game.
There are recommendations that you highlight in your Wall Street Journal piece. One I did not know about. What's wrong? What happened to the B-52s? That's a magnificent artifact of the last, 70 years?
Right. Well, there are plans to replace it, but they're still very effective, very big, and they can carry a lot of weaponry. But under the new START agreement negotiated by the Obama administration and ratified in 2010, we had to disable a significant number of B-52s so they were not nuclear capable. And in the interim period, as we upgrade our capabilities, but before we get to the place we need to be, we need to think of ways to more quickly, maybe not the permanent solution, but to more quickly increase as we go through the transition, and really fixing the B-52s that were mangled to comply with New START is one of the ideas.
What is the always never rule, John?
Well, this is something that is absolutely critical in thinking about nuclear weapons. And it's something we want to say about every single weapon we have, that it will always work when we use it the first time, and it will never work when we don't want it to be used. So that's reliability first and safety. And that is something that, as nuclear weapons age, we get concerned about their reliability and we get concerned about their safety. We can test, we can do simulations, very sophisticated simulations. We're doing that now to assure ourselves they are still reliable and safe. But ultimately, and I don't think it's more than a few years off, the only sure way is to test. And people may not like to hear that, but bear in mind the test would be underground test, no radiation in the atmosphere. And that's what would give us certainty that our deterrent is both safe and reliable.
The commission recommends a national missile defense system. Is that something that's imaginable for Congress to find the money for that?
Well, it shouldn't be hard, because this is, it goes by the name of deterrence by denial, as opposed to deterrence by punishment. If, as you see, the Iron Dome missile defense system performing over Israel, knocking down hundreds of Hamas and Hezbollah missiles, that is saving lives on the ground in Israel. And it's a way of doing it without necessarily using our own nuclear forces around the world. So this is something that we got started on in the George W. Bush administration, pulling out of an antiquated treaty against national missile defense. But in order to be sure that we can maximize our deterrent capability, if we can keep our people safer, our civilians safer, by anti-missile systems, we should rush to do it.
John Bolton, writing at the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batchelor.